The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Glory to God. It's been beautiful. I tell you, it's been wonderful. Every time I go home, I listen. And something they've been, the media team have been doing, in case you don't know, you know, every day, I think the first 3 days of this teaching is already on YouTube. Like the message alone, they've, you know, posted the message alone on YouTube. So you can actually go back and listen to the video, that message again and again. Amen. And I tell you, God has been blessing us. So, we, 2 days ago, began the purity of God's house. We were unable to finish it yesterday. Glory to God. As a matter of fact, we were unable to enter into what I wanted to show you yesterday. Yeah, I was still trying to do a recap of what we said the previous day, and the time was gone. But that's the beauty of the teaching anointing. You know, when you teach by the Spirit, the beauty of teaching by the Spirit is that you get to say what God wants said at every time. And so whenever I begin to flow like that, I just let it flow. Amen. You make your note, you prepare your note, but you don't confine God to that, your note. Hallelujah. And the reason why those things can happen most times in teaching meetings is because God knows everybody's heart. God knows everybody's needs. God knows everybody's intent. God knows what is bothering everybody. God knows how you feel. Glory to God. You know, and all of that. You know, I was saying the other time, there are things I wouldn't have said yesterday, for instance, if you were not there. It's as simple as that. Because some of those things were said specifically for you. So God made me say them because you came. So I was explaining the last time. Somebody said, which one should I attend? Should I attend first service on Sunday or second service? I think first service is always more powerful. Or no, second service is always more powerful. Well, all of them are the same thing. The important thing is whichever one you attend, God is going to meet your need. Whatever that was not said in the first service was not said because you were not there. It was said in the second service because you have now come. So what every time you are coming to church like that, trust that God is going to meet your need. And one of the ways he does that is via these digressions by the Spirit. Amen. So we are looking at this. We're still here where we are. Oikos, okay, the house of God. So I'll just see if I can tidy up this purity of God's house, you know, stuff we opened up so that by tomorrow, we begin to touch other things. Amen. And so you notice, I was trying to show you, the house of God must be pure. Everywhere anybody ever built a house for God, or anybody ever felt like God had appeared, they always made sure to keep that place very clean and holy. Because if God is going to be in a place, that place has to be clean and pure, okay, and holy enough to accommodate or to house him. Because again, God is holy. He's thrice holy. So if he's going to be in a place, that place must be holy. That place must be pure. And when God wanted to make us his temple, he made sure that he made us holy so we can house him. You know, when I started preaching, you know, the things of the Spirit earlier, very early in my Christian walk, I used to say that, you know, that's actually wrong. I used to say that the Holy Spirit is holy. Okay, that's wrong and right, but I'm going to share what I'm saying. And the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And so he cannot stay in an unclean vessel. And so if you are here and you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as we called it then, you must make sure that you are clean enough to receive him. But that's not actually correct. It is correct that the Holy Spirit is holy. Okay? It is correct that he can only stay in pure and clean vessels. What is not correct is that you have to be very, you have to make yourself holy before he stays inside of you. He is the Holy Spirit. He makes you holy so that he can live in you. So when you accept Jesus, he comes in and makes you holy so you can stay. He can stay in you. I'll show you the example. When you look at a leper in the Old Testament, if you touch the leper, you become leprous. But when Jesus came on earth, he was touching lepers. Instead of him becoming leprous, those lepers became clean. Showing us that with Jesus, when as his housing God, whatever he comes in contact with will not corrupt him. He actually blesses that thing. Are you know what I'm talking about here? And so his coming into us has made us holy. And so Jesus living in our heart, he made us holy to be able to live in us. And again, I showed you, there is nowhere a temple has ever been built in the Bible where the temple was asked to sanctify or to purify itself. Every temple has a high priest. Do you understand? Every temple has priests that function there. And one of the things that you make sure is that the priest is always offering the sacrifices to make that temple pure and holy. And so the job of holiness or purity is not on the temple. It's actually on the priest that works in the temple. And Jesus is called our high priest. So he's the one that purifies us. Do you know what I'm talking about? So we saw that in, for instance, in Ephesians 5 verse 25, it says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and, you know, gave himself for it. Okay? And what does he do for the church? He sanctifies the church. That he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That it may be pure, it may be holy. That he may present to himself as a church without spot or wrinkle. And notice who does all of this. God is the one that does all of this. So Jesus is the sanctifier. He is the blesser. He is the cleanser. He makes us holy so he can live in us. And I showed you that already. But then I also went on to emphasize yesterday that the fact that God has made us holy does not now remove the demand to walk in holiness. So it's a balance of two things. God has made us holy. We saw that with many scriptures yesterday. The fact that God calls us saints. So he has made us holy. Then we are now supposed to respond to what he has made us. We are now supposed to walk as he has made us. It is not walking in holiness that makes us holy. But walking in holiness actually proves that we are holy. Do you understand? Ephesians 5 verse 8. You know, there are many scriptures I can use to prove this. I didn't read some of this ones yesterday. Read it, everybody. For you, we are what? Look at the screen, everybody, so you can get it. Look at it. Start again. For you, we are sometimes darkness. But now, are ye? So stay there. What are you now? Light. So it is, did he say you should be light? No. He said you are now light. What is the instruction that follows? Walk as children of light. So it's not walking that makes you light. You are light. You are now required to walk as light. Are you what I'm talking about? So God has made us holy. We must now walk as holy. Do you follow to this point? He has made us holy. Now we must walk as holy. Colossians, I think that's Colossians 2 and verse 6. Put it up. Colossians 2 and verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. As you have received him, the same way you received him, walk in him. So when you see the Bible talk about walking with God, walking in the Spirit, walking in Christ, all of those is talking about living out the reality of what has happened to you. So the man in Christ houses God. He is holy. The fact that he can even house God is because he's holy. Or can I put it this way? The God he is housing is what has made him holy. I get the point. So he has God, he's holy. But then there is now a demand on him. So I was showing you yesterday, for instance, I showed you a few places in the epistles where Paul dealt with sin and sinning Christians. Remember that is the 1 Corinthians 5, the guy that had his father's wife. 1 Corinthians 6, the believers who are taking themselves to court. 1 Corinthians 11, the believers who are fighting among themselves. Are you following me? 1 Thessalonians, he said, he talked about believers who were rebelling against the message he had presented to them. Ephesians 4, he talks about the guy that was, whoever is stealing, let him that stealeth, steal no more. And in all these instructions, he will never tell them, God has rejected you, or you are no more holy, you are no more pure. He will rather insist and correct them. And so you must be able to understand that when we are preaching holiness in Christ and righteousness by faith and all of that, that's not an attempt to condone your sin and your misbehavior. As a matter of fact, I'm going to show you today, if you're actually allowing sin in your life just because they said you are holy, Okay? Two, a few things are involved. One, it's either you actually have not received Jesus into your life, or you don't understand what has happened to you. Do you understand the point? Because if you understand what has happened to you, because that's why you see people, you tell someone, you can't dress that way. You say, why can't I dress that way? God is not condemning me. Who are you to condemn me? The Bible said, judge not that you be not judged. Please, that's a very wrong way to use scriptures. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we should judge Christians. Are you following me? Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Did I say it again? The Bible said we should. It is my job to judge you. My job as a pastor. 1 Corinthians 6. We saw it yesterday. Just didn't take note of it. So that you can look at it again. 1 Corinthians 6 from verse 1. Because by the time I show you, you will not see what I'm talking about. Dare any of you having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust. Okay. In fact, go to 1 Corinthians 5. Before we get to chapter 6, go to verse 5. Start from verse 8. Chapter 5, verse 8. Also, verse 8 or verse 9. If I get to chapter 6. Verse 9. Please, everybody watch this. I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must she needs to go out of this world. He said, if I say she stop talking to every fornicator in this world, you have to leave this world because there are sinners in the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator. You know what he says there, right? Or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one not to eat. Watch. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? Huh? What does he mean by that? Why am I judging people who are not believers? Put up like NLT. He said, NLT quickly. It isn't my responsibility to judge outside that. But it certainly is a responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. So we can judge Christians. Now, judgment is not like condemning them or saying you are going to hell. But we can look at what they're doing and deliver correction. Are you what I'm talking about? So when we say, oh, you don't dress that way, don't say, don't judge, but say, judge not. Mm-mm. You meet a pastor, say, I'm preaching a wrong teaching. He say, who are you to judge me? Who are you to judge not? No, sir. The Bible says we should judge Christians. The Bible even said we should judge prophecies. You get the point? So whenever you stand to prophesy, it is my right to judge it. If it's my assignment to judge your prophecy and tell you that that's not correct or that it is correct, it's still in the same Bible. So you must explain judge knows that you be not judged in the right context. That's what I'm trying to say. You get the point? Don't condemn people. But then there is need for us to deliver correction. Why are we doing this? I started talking about it yesterday. Because you are the house of God. God lives in you. And because God lives in you, not just anything can go on around God's house. Do you understand the point? This is our church. We meet here. Ushers, praise God. Ushers, where are they? I wish ushers. You're coming into church and just walking up here, immediately you see someone standing in front of this door, cooking indomie. Sharp indomie with egg. What are you going to do? Eh? He should give you some. The first issue is there anything wrong with cooking indomie? No. Do you understand? The issue is, why is it here you are making indomie? Why is it in front of this place? Why are you trying to drive the person out? You might be doing the right thing, but you are in the wrong place. This is where we use for our worship. We must hallow it. That's how your life is. God lives in you. Anything cannot just go in around and in your body. In Leviticus chapter 10, we read about Nadab and Abihu, who were priests. They walked up to offer sacrifices, and they offered a sacrifice which the Bible calls strange fire. Leviticus 10 verse 1. Glory to God. quickly. He says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense of thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. So they came to the tabernacle of the Lord and offered a sacrifice God did not command them to offer. What happened in verse 2? And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. And they died. Now, this is not that saying, why did they die? The issue is, this Bible tells us in the New Testament that these things happen to them as examples unto us. We are learning the path that God wouldn't want in his tabernacle anything to just go on. Now, whenever I say tabernacle, think about your life. He doesn't want just anything to go on in your life. So when we meet you living in a particular way, and we are saying, stop that. You know what we are doing? We are just like that usher that saw someone making noodles at the door. And he's saying, leave this place. Don't make noodles here. Are you what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. You know, growing up, we grew up in a school compound. And that school compound, you know, most of these public schools don't have toilets. Glory to God. How you went to public school? Like, they might have toilets in their hostel, but like outside, no. And that was that school. I don't know whether they have now, that and they did not have. So these people converted our, because I had a farm in front of our house. So they converted our farm to their defecation center. We saw terrible things. So you can just be in the house, you see someone. So everything we kept pursuing, we even put placards, no urination, no. Where will they go? They will keep coming there. So we kept pursuing them. Nothing is wrong with the fact that they were defecating or that they were easing themselves. But at least not there. You get what I'm saying? Not there. So there are things that should not go on in your house. In the house of the Lord, not anything can happen. And I'm already painting a picture for you that some of the things I'm talking about may not really be bad in death, in a sense, but they can't go on in your body because it's the house of God. That already tells you that because you house God, please don't forget this, there are things that people in the world can do, but you can no longer do it because you are now holy and special unto the Lord. There are things they can do. There is a way they can dress. There are things they can say. That's why you can't come around me, for instance, and you are careless with using, for instance, the F word. I wonder where we even got all those thoughts from. The average Nigerian cannot talk without saying, you know, that is F this, man. Using the F word up and down. Like, you think, what's there? Did the Bible say you should not use F word? What's wrong with that? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God, not everything can go on around you and inside of you. Are you here? So, you don't use the house of God. Wrong purpose. I gave an example yesterday with Belshazzar. How that, he said, he brought the cup of the Lord and they were drinking with it. This is the cup that was supposed to be used in the temple of the Lord and they were drinking with it. Why nothing was wrong with drinking if they wanted to drink, but not with that cup? Because it's a holy cup. I want this to be plain in your mind whenever you think about yourself. Not everything can go on in my body. Not everything can go on in the house of God. Not everything. Because most times when people quote, they are the temple of the Holy Ghost. They say, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Sickness cannot live in me. That's the only one you know. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Immorality cannot also live in you. Are you what I'm saying? You are God's temple. That is a way you should no longer dress and talk. You are God's temple. There are friends you can no longer keep. So the first reason why we demand holy living now from believers is what I'm showing you already. Because he is God's temple, he's God's house, and God's house cannot be used for the wrong purpose. Amen. I showed you that in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 16, where Paul told them, Know ye not, that your body, and I like the background. Oh, 1 Corinthians 6:16. Let me see if I can just explain this, and I want to show you now. What did he say? Read it with me, everybody. Did you guys come here with your voice? That word looks like you're sleeping. Read it again. Now, before we get to that, go to verse 12. Put up like New Living Translation. I want to show you something. Because we are getting to where these things matter now. Are you there? You say, I'm allowed to do anything. Paul is telling them. He said, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. Continue. You say, food was meant for the stomach, and stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. Why does he care about our bodies? We will see. And God raised us from the dead by his power, just as he raised Christ from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? So you see why God cares about your body and what you do with it, because your body belongs to Christ. Remember that oneness I explained to you yesterday, that union. Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. Verse 16, he now says, don't you realize that if a person joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say the two are united into one. Verse 17, for the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So you see how Paul corrects. Paul is correcting from the standpoint of your identity. That because God lives in you, because God is living in you, because you are one spirit with God, you cannot just let your body do anything. So, I say the first reason why we insist on holy living among Christians is because their body is God's temple. Well, can I say something else? And nothing could just go on around God's temple. Can I say something else to you? Another reason why we don't just allow any kind of sin, any kind of thing to go on in your body is because, whether you know it or not, there are certain sins that when you commit, I want you to listen to the dumb mission I'm going to say now. There are certain sins that when you commit, you give room for our lives or for God's house to be invaded by satanic forces and demons. That this thing I'm saying is actually very important. This is God's house. God can never leave this house. He lives in us. But there are certain things that when you begin to indulge in, you give room for the devil to access this body. Of course, not to possess it, because already I showed you, God lives in you and he's not going anywhere. He stays permanently. But there are things you just give room for, and you allow the devil to access your body and begin to oppress you. Perfect example is one I've always taught us from Ephesians 4:26. You know, if you read the Old Testament, you read a lot about how the temple of God will be invaded. Because every time, I told you all those things are just shadows, examples that we have to learn from. Every time when they sin against the Lord, suddenly the temple of God that the priests could no longer, could, when they want to minister, they even collapse. The glory was so much. When they sin against God, Babylon can now come in and raid that house. I get the point. Now, that's a type of that can happen to the believer. Because when you, there's a way you let sin and let whatever continue in your life, you give the devil the opportunity to come in and run riot in your life. Read to me, everybody. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Go back to verse 26. And now we're going to see many translations of this. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. So there's a way you let anger, bitterness, hurt stay in your heart. This, your body that is God's temple. Suddenly, the devil can come and begin to play some games there. Because you're yielding to him. Are you guys following me this evening? That's why you can be sure, you know, at that time, the devil is doing all of those things. Has God left you? No. Is he still inside of you? Yes. But you know, God doesn't force his way. So because you are yielding to a particular influence, he will talk to you, but he wouldn't stop. You are yielding, that thing will begin to torment you. That's why there are many people that you know, things are going wrong around them because they let the devil. I'll always give this example, for instance. How do you come into a family? Everything was moving so well. There was peace. There was prosperity. Maybe they didn't even have it all, but they were content. They were fine. And suddenly from nowhere, it's like hell has been let loose. Check it. Most times, someone opened the door. You get the point? Through anger, through hurt, through bitterness, and then began to, the devil can go and assess. Anyway, if that's the case, you can actually send the devil packing and he will go. But like I always tell you, if you keep sending the devil packing and you continue in sin, you will keep going through a continuous cycle of cast the devil out, he comes back in, cast him out. You will live all your life fighting battles. Are you following me this evening? Uh-huh. Do you still love this meeting? It's not everything you let in your life. For instance, all this anger, bitterness, hurt, unforgiveness, you don't. Let me tell you, many people's lives are retrogressing because of something someone did to them that they've not been able to let go of. You know what has happened? The devil has taken advantage of that to set him fully and is messing the house, even though that body is God's temple. They built a temple for God, though, yet the Babylonians could come in on a very good day. The Babylonians can't come into that. Are you mad? How can, even the priests, when the glory fills that house like that, even the priests could not stand inside that temple. But then they do certain things, and then Babylonians can come in and come and raid the entire house. Do you know there was even a time, if you read the book of Judges, that even the ark of God, you know, ark, was captured. I'm not joking. Philistines captured that ark that Uzzah touched and he collapsed and died. The Philistines captured it and carried it home. Why? They began to yield to a negative influence. And that became a door for the devil to come and invade their lives. And so, the believer can be shouting, I'm the house of God, I'm the house of God. But if he continues perpetually in a lifestyle, of, for instance, of unforgiveness, he's going to open the door for the devil to come and be messing his life up. That's why I emphasize again and again to the believer in Christ that there are certain things you don't allow in your life. You see this thing called anger, unforgiveness, bitterness. Don't you ever let it stay in your life. Ever. No matter what. You know the problem? People that are hurt have a justifiable reason why they are angry. Have you ever said anybody that is angry? If they finish talking to you, self will understand. But all those your reasons make no difference. Are you know what I'm saying? You're just opening your door for the devil. So when you're giving your excuse, this is why I'm angry. You are simply explaining to us why you let the devil get into your house. Go back to Pastor Genesis. Let's see, maybe Amplify Classic, we're going to see Message and all of that. When angry, do not sin. How do you sin? Do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury or indignation last until the sun goes down. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Go ahead and be angry. I like how Message talks. You do well to be angry. Don't you ever say you do well to be angry? Tell the person. But don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. Don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foot in your life. You see, I say this all the time. How can someone, a man born of a woman, ever think of going to get something from the native doctor to actually kill a fellow human being? You think the person was born like that? No. There was a build up of wickedness in the person's heart. Let me tell you. The father that is evil in this world is because of sin. Are you aware? And I can tell you, in fact, let me put it this way. Every problem you are passing through in your life is because of sin. Either your sin or somebody's sin. I don't generalize. I'm going to prove it to you. Just watch. I'm not saying it's because you're a sinner. Every problem. Because some sin causes problem. Yeah? As you are driving down now, your car entered a pothole and it's going to cost you so much money to fix. How come there is a pothole? There was a wicked engineer that the government contracted to work on that road. He sinned by eating the money. That's how you... I'm just telling you, if you trace everything, you find out that somehow, someone has... Some people are sick today. So we are taking drugs, it did not work. Do you know why? There is a wicked person who has yielded to the devil, who has built one small house and is there manufacturing fake drugs. You understand? You know that is fake paracetamol. I was watching the news yesterday. I was looking at the news. They busted one place, one small place. They were manufacturing every kind of drug I can ever think of. And I saw what they were using, cornstarch. Now, somebody takes it and dies. They say, hey, God has given, God has taken. It's not God that took nothing. Evil in the world took the person. It is sin that opens the door for evil. So, you know, I'm not saying it's always your own sin, actually. Because one of the prayers you should be praying is that I will not suffer the consequence of anybody's sin. Yeah. I will not. Amen. A hospital is meant to employ 5 doctors. But then the CMD collects money for 5 doctors, pockets the money, employs only 2 doctors, tells one to work from morning till the next day. Around 7 p.m., that one is very tired. He's not seeing road again. He gives someone wrong medication. The person dies. It is the wickedness of that CMD that killed that person. If you begin to analyze murder, you find that there are many murderers in this world. But let's not go into it. All I'm saying is that sin leaves nobody the same. Sin causes trouble. That's what I'm trying to say. Are you what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm talking about, friends? Yeah. Sin causes trouble. Causes trouble. So you don't let the devil have that access in there. You know that I said this, I just mentioned anger issues. Don't let, for instance, your family, don't let anger stay for long. Bitterness, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. Sometimes, actually, everybody feels like doing that. Have you ever felt like letting anger stay? Without the Bible, you know, you just feel like, let it be. See, if the devil entered it, as all of us will collect. Have you ever felt that way? That's where they vex you and vex you. Say, foothold, you should collect. Because you know that sometimes when things are just so, you're just so angry, and all the scripture is not correct in your head, say it's not put to it should come. But then, after you feel that way, still forgive and let things go very early. You know there are some other sins that people commit that open the door to the devil. I'll just give an example. For instance, is this one. Should I give another example? When people walk in outright rebellion against God and against authorities, it opens up the devil in their life. An example is Saul, King Saul in the Old Testament. How come an evil spirit began to torment him? I know what I'm talking about. Let me give another example of that can bring the devil into your life. When people, believers, house of God, goes to consult demonic mediums, going to witchcraft. Are you know what I'm saying? Now, what you are doing, you are actually opening the door for the devil to come and invade that house of God. I'm just trying to show you, because there are many Christians, actually, that think it is normal to visit occultic men. To go and say that, I didn't kill anybody. I just want them to go and see for me. You're a disgrace. Amen. Let me even tell you, if you want to have an event in your place, next year, and some people say you should pay them to stop rainfall. Don't pay them. So what if it rains? Let it rain. Nobody has ever died from rainfall. They say, what if I pray and prayer doesn't stop it? Then let it rain. Open the floodgates. Let it rain. Let me tell you, there are some things you do. So you are consulting a witch doctor to use satanic powers to hold rain in your event. Sir and ma, let the rain fall. No matter the event you are holding, once it is ceased, the event is over. If rain, it's awkward, it's awkward. So what's the point? Let it rain. I've had those encounters where people come and tell me things like, you know, pay us before. I say, I told one of them, you have gods. You have gods. I should pay you. See, if you don't pay me, rain will fall. I say, well, rain is not going to fall. But secondly, even if rain fall, let rain cover, carry everybody. You know, there's some things I'm no longer afraid of. Okay, what will happen if the rain fall? What do I stand to gain? Just say, if you don't give me money for this burial you want to organize, now rain will fall, and we'll no longer bury the person. My point is that the things we fall for are just what is there. If rain fall, we put the person inside the place and bury the person. What was your business? So what if it's your way now? It's even sweet. When I went to, let me tell you, when I went to, because I didn't do full blood traditional marriage, when I went to carry my wife from my people's place, it rained on that day. You don't know, it rained though. When we were driving, it was raining. We got there, entered and paid, danced around, spread money, came home. What's your problem? The problem is, you see, the devil uses some things to just come to your face and say, pay. So you, a Christian, house of God, full of the Holy Ghost. You now say, take 10,000. Say, no, our fee is 25,000. Say, I beg now, manage us. What? Let it rain. Let the floodgates be open. It changes nothing. The worst is people that plan crusades and pay. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You are planning a crusade where you are going to defend the power of God and you are paying so that it will not rain. And don't even give me that thing of that not using satanic powers. It is demonic powers. My family and my ancestral family, we are rainmakers. So I'm not telling what I don't know. Ekwensu, you know, release satanic power. Don't even play that card. Once you begin to consult all these demonic mediums, I'm just trying to tell you, there are things that you can do, and you let the devil come and be run, messing things up in your life. You better begin to, and that's why I'm going to say to you, okay, if you are a person here, you have a brother or a sister who is into internet fraud of any sort. Now, you will bear me witness that everybody doing internet fraud is using diabolic powers. Internet, Yahoo is just another name we use to cover rituals. You know what I said? Go quote me anywhere you want to quote me. Doubt it and later you will confirm it is true. It's just another name. I'm a pastor. I've intervened over many cases. Once they get in there, they begin to, they tell you, we don't kill anybody, but we take ram. We do okite. You know okite? Do pots. We, all those things continue. If you have a brother that has gone into all those things, tell them to go and get help. Something is accumulating. They are the battles that your family will fight in 10 years' time. Because those things are opening the door for the devil to come into your home. Are you what I'm talking about here? Are you following me? Yes. You come to a family that something has never happened. Nobody in this family has ever had this kind of problem. And suddenly you see one boy that born into the family, he begins to have that problem. I always ask myself, how did the devil enter this home? Always ask yourself, how did he enter this house? From where? Someone obviously opened that door for him. Because this is the house of God, and we don't just open the door for the devil to come and run riot in here. Let me tell you. He said, sir, it's just Yahoo. We just depress and deceive him. Let me tell you. Two things you can never separate from Yahoo. Anybody that is doing Yahoo is doing jazz, as we call it in Africa, and is taking drugs. He's doing drugs. Go and write it and observe. If they've not started, they will still start. See, there is nothing that will make you to be able to be collecting someone's money and the person will not catch you. Some of that, an extra power has to be helping you. To be deceiving people and they will send you $10,000. $50,000. Are they mad? So these men you are trying to take their money are very powerful businessmen who will think well before they make any investment. Whatever that will confuse them to do that is a stronger power. Go around and ask about what I'm saying. There are three cases. My wife knows what I'm saying. That we handle in three of them, same case. You will see in some of the cases when matter don't read, they always come. Some of the cases, 2-3 shrines contending over one person. I'm not joking. Over one person. And that's they're claiming ownership because the person is owing all of them, promises he has made to all of them. Are you what I'm talking about here? These things open the door. So I'm just trying to show you, do not play with the devil. It doesn't play fair. So you're not shouting, I'm the house of God. And then, because there are people, because I want to explain something to you. Some people say that I have a boyfriend. He's born again, but he's a Yahoo boy. See, your boyfriend is not born again. He doesn't understand what it means to be born again. And you go ahead and marry that person. The devil is going to feast in your house. He will be feasting. He'll be coming all the time. He'll come in all the time. You know, some of you think that you are actually wiser than the devil. You know, you can call the devil anything. Don't call him stupid. Don't. He's wise. Serpent. That's what they used to describe him. Cunning. So you think that all that, and I'm saying this to help somebody that's listening. I don't know who the person is now. You think that all that the devil, all that you are doing is every day we used to take 200,000 to that shrine and then things are working. That shrine is collecting more from you. That's possibly why you're not able to give birth. That's possibly why your children die at a certain age. The devil is not that stupid. I get what I'm saying. That's possibly why things are going wrong. So you are the house of God now. Now, if you are on that side of fire, you're not born again, and you've been doing this, when you now get born again, you have to deliberately detach yourself from all those alliances. And then with prayer, we shut down all those doors. And you don't go opening them up again. Are you what I'm saying now? Are you following me? That's why, you see, all of us now, I don't know why I'm saying this again now, all of us now in Africa, or in Igbo land, we are going back to our roots. See, that's what we're doing now. See, church has failed us. Church has failed us. So we are returning to our roots. The gods of our fathers. I wish you met the gods of your fathers. You wouldn't have even been alive. They would have sacrificed you. Some of you that are sisters here, saying you are keeping yourself pure. They would have used you to bury a king. 7 virgins to bury one king. So it's just better you go and sleep with somebody so that... I'm telling you, that's the God, that's the gods of your father. You're a twin here. It is finished for you. Because they would have killed you when they gave birth to you. That's the gods of your father. I get what I'm saying. We are just opening the door for Satan into our home. Go to any community that stayed long in idolatry. They don't prosper. Go and check what I'm saying. They do not prosper. And even if they begin to do rituals and begin to prosper, the deaths are always like that. People always keep passing in their prime. You don't play with the devil. I've seen strongholds. I went to a community let me not call them of the states. And they told me, in this entire community, you cannot say that the God, the I don't know who, the elders under the covenant, you cannot erect an upstairs. If you start, you will die. That's what idol worship has to offer. And I told them, you guys are just talking to me about this when I didn't have money. I would have done 4-story building and stay on top and be looking at all of you down. Now, I've seen idol worship keep. Now, that is what we are trying to go back to.
And once you get into all those things, you open the door, the devil begins to torment your life. Whether you're going there to go and ask questions, if someone killed your father or killed your mother, tell them, tell people around you, don't go and ask questions for me. I don't want to know who killed him or her. Please go tell them. And if they find out, they should not tell you. What are you doing with who killed your father or mother? You want to go and kill them too? If it is so important, you pray, God will tell you. We undermine the leading of the Spirit. You know, sometimes God will not tell you that this person killed your father. But you just begin to observe that wherever you meet that person, you find this strange stuff from the person, and you just find this in telling you, don't go close to that person. Does it happen to you? You meet some people. That is your inward witness reacting, telling you, just stay away from that person. Be careful around that person. That is more trusted than all this you're going to look at the mirror. Who has ever gone to a native doctor and they told him you have no problem? There's nobody like that. Because again, you have to understand that the native doctor is also a businessman. He needs to eat. If he begins to tell you the truth that you don't have any problem, how will he now eat? Just like if you go to a pharmacist. You can never enter a pharmacy and not come out with drugs. Abi, something is wrong with them. Once you come in, that's a business place. Once you come in, they don't know if there's a kind one. The kind one will pack food supplements and give you. At least it will not kill you. The wicked ones can even give you anything because you have to buy. Again, so once you come in, something is wrong with you. That's the same thing that's happening. So once you go there and say, ah, is there a there's a problem? Open your hand. Ah. What I see, I don't see nothing. Again, that's what happens in digression when a pastor begins to run ministry like business. When a pastor begins to run ministry like business, anybody that comes in has a problem. Because they have to have a problem so they can bring money, so they can solve it for them. That's why when you patronize all these prayer houses as, in all these kind of places, there is no way. Have you ever gone and told you that you are fine? You cannot be fine. Something is wrong with you. How will you come back? How will they come and do family work for you? To get money. So something is wrong with you. Don't open your door to the devil. I feel what I'm saying. Don't open your door. I don't know why God is emphasizing this again. The last time God brought this emphasis, you know, was when I was teaching on how to cast out devils. But now he's bringing it again. Don't open your door to the devil. Don't open the door of your home, the door of your business, the door of your family to the devil. This house, me now, I'm the house of God. And my family is also an extension of the house of God. We won't open that door for the devil to come and mess things up. Are you what I'm talking about? Are you following what I'm saying, everybody? Amen. Glory to God. Let me tell you, there is no spirit that will help you that will not leave his influence in that place. If God, if he engaged the devil to do things for you, he might do it, but one thing that has happened is you've had your problem solved, but just know that the devil is already in town. He's in town. So he can cause whatever riots, whatever stuff that he wants to cause. And for someone here that is angry with the white people, that Christianity is white man religion, want to go back to religion, let me say this to you. To even start with, it was not the whites that brought the gospel to Africa. Do you know what I said? I don't even have time today. It was not the whites. If I even go to history, check your Bible. There is a man in the Bible called Ethiopian eunuch. He was a eunuch from Ethiopia. He got saved under Philip. He went back. He was one that spread the gospel in Ethiopia. There were many. Check the... Okay, I don't know whether I have time to do this now. Acts 13 verse 1. Acts 13 verse 1. I've left my note. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Glory to God. Read with me, everybody.
That was called, well,
the actual way this, the actual thing is, it was, wait here, it was called Niger. Okay, let me not tell you what, it was actually Nigger. That guy is a black man. So don't doubt me. Don't just fight. Do you have like NLT? Called what? If you read the commentary beside it, that guy is an African. I've just told you that in the early church, there were Africans that were in that. I know what I'm talking about. The gospel came to the Gentiles. Many black guys received the gospel. The oldest church in Africa is not even this one they planted. Of course, just like the Nigerians are going to US now, to UK, to go preach the gospel now to them. The white guys actually came and to preach the gospel to us. But they were not the first people to bring the gospel to an African soil. No, they were not. So it's not even right to call Christianity a white man religion. I agree what I'm saying? This is not even a religion to start with. Amen. Pastor Henry. Are you learning something? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. I say blessed be God. Glory to God. Are you getting blessed? Are you loving this? Do you love the word of God? Glory to God. Okay, so I'm just trying to show you that things you do, you open doors to the devil. Part of what can open the door to the devil, for instance, can be guilt. Because so you do some of these things, you open the door for guilt, and he begins to torment you. The devil begins to torment you. And all of that. So I'm going to give you some instructions before we go. Number one, flee sexual sins. Flee sexual sins. Stay away from every kind of sexual sin. Now, if you have struggles in that area, please get help. But flee sexual sin. And how to actually deal with sexual sin. Amidst many other things we can say. It's actually in the Bible. It says, flee. That's the word. Flee. Flee means to run away from. That's 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18 and 19. Flee means to run away from. To stay away from. So that is another way we say, that's why we say things like, keep boundary. That's the same thing as flee. And so, you see here, you are not victorious over sexual sin. Hear what I'm going to say. You're not victorious over sexual sin because you brought a guy to your room or a lady to your room and eventually you did not do anything with them. That's not real victory. The real victory over sexual sin is that you didn't even let the person get into your space. Because look at why I say the other one is not victory. It could be called victory today. But if you continue, you eventually fall. Eventually, nobody is that strong. I always give you guys this illustration. You see here, this is a very strong pillar, right? Now, this pillar, if you hit it with a hammer, it cannot be broken. But do you know, if every day you hit this pillar two times, the next day you hit it two times, and you continue like that for 3 years, for 4 years, for 5 years, and you keep doing it consistently, one day you're going to appear to hit this pillar as usual, and it just collapses. Because over time, you've weakened it. That's why there are some things you don't expose yourself to. And I'm saying this to all of us. Every time you've ever fallen, the reason you're struggling with all of these things is because you expose yourself to so much, and you've weakened yourself. Flee. Flee does not start with when like Joseph, you've entered the room. And I say, I don't want, leave me. No. Flee means don't go there at all. Are you what I'm talking about? Flee fornication. Flee. It's not rebuke. Don't resist fornication. Resist the devil and he will flee. Fornication. Flee fornication. So maybe fornication is stronger than the devil. There is one that if you resist, you run. The other one, he said, don't resist, just run. When it's coming, start running. One of the things that will help you is everything that exposes, that makes you very vulnerable. You know, let me tell you, you have to know yourself. Anything that makes you very vulnerable to sin, stay away from them. The Bible said, abstain from all appearances of evil. Abstain. So when we say things like, a sister now,
Why are you going to visit a guy and you're spending the whole day? Why are you visiting a guy alone in the first place? What are you looking for there? Or a brother, why are you letting... You say, no, no, sir. We are trying to study together. It doesn't always work. You're not studying anything together. You're not even learning anything. What did you learn from the last class? Please don't laugh. So it do not look like I'm talking about you. Just keep a straight face. Is that okay? Because if you laugh, you look like you're feeling guilty. So act like the message is entering. Because this is actually the problem. Flee. Everybody. Now, most of us have had our own fair share of when we compromised or when you did what we were not supposed to do. Trace all those compromises. There was an opportunity for you to run away. You just didn't run. There was an opportunity for you not to stay, for you not to come. But sir, what if both of us are in courtship? We're planning to get married. Are we not going to be seeing ourselves? How do we now get married? I'm just going to answer you very quickly. See yourselves in the open. Sir, but I really want to stay alone with him. Then marry him. That's what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He said, if anybody has, look for it. Someone has a virgin. That actually means a single. And you feel you're not treating your single well because both of you are burning with lust. You want it, she wants it. He said, marry her quick. Marry her very fast. So get married. If you're not going to get married, then don't fall in love. You hear what I'm saying? If you know that when you fall in love, you cannot hold yourself. If you fall in love, marry. Are you following what I'm saying? Glory to God. And that's why, again, this is not to say that, you know, people say things like, well, let me say this to you, marriage does not stop sexual sin. That is true. If you have a struggle, fix it. But let me say to you, marriage is one of the suggestions that Paul gave as how to conquer sexual sin. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So, young men, praise God. You know, I wanted to say, if you're not married, stand up. But let's not do that. So, let's not do that. Glory to God. Well, I just feel, I almost did that. But thank God. Someone has been praying very well. Amen. He said, for if they cannot contain, let them marry. It's better to marry than to born. That's okay, but that's not the verse I'm looking for. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Okay, let's just stay here. Read to everybody. If they cannot contain, what did he say? Let them marry. Why? Than to born. Put up NLT. I've seen what I'm looking for. Put up NLT. If they cannot control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to born with lust. If you're a young man here, you are in the relationship, you love someone, you cannot control yourself, and you are seeing food to eat, and you have a roof over your head, come, let's wed you. Stop all these things you want to do, high-class wedding. Come and get married, sharp, sharp. If you don't want to give birth, it's okay. I'm being very sincere. Okay. 1 Corinthians 7, go to verse 36. Or let's start from 35. Glory to God. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but that which is coming, that you may attend unto the Lord without discretion. Because we're telling them that if you can stay without getting married, please don't get married. But verse 36 said, if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, put up like NLT of this. I want you to see it and feel it. You live in translation. If a man thinks that he's treating his fiancée improperly, and I'm saying this to the women, you also think you have treated your fiancée improperly. Sir, he has been begging me for the thing. It's somehow or another that I'm dating him, and I'm not even letting him do anything. If you think you are treating him improperly and you immediately give in to your passion, let him marry her as he wishes. It's not a sin.
Are you guys what I'm talking about? So look at my neighbor and say, it's somehow, and how can we be together? It's somehow that we're not, it's not somehow. If you think you are being wicked to him, marry. Are you got what I'm saying? Stop giving your body sexual immorality. Put up another translation of this. Oikos. Okay. If any man thinks that he's not acting properly toward and in regard to his virgin, that he's preparing to disgrace her on incurring reproach in case she's passing the bloom of her youth. He said, if you're close to someone, person is getting older, and if there is need for it, let him do what he seems right. He does not sin, let them marry. Put up message. If a man has a woman friend to whom he's loyal, but never intended to marry, having decided to serve God as a single, and then changes his mind, deciding he should marry her, he should go ahead and marry her. It's no sin. It's not even a step down from celibacy, as some say. So marry. And if you say, sir, I've not made money, I am not ready. If you are not ready for marriage, you should not be ready for fornication. Did you hear what I said? Marriage is honorable with the bed undefiled. Now, all this message I'm preaching now will not help you not to sleep with that sister when you see her again. What this message will help you to do is to make sure that that sister does not come to your house again. So both of us should love us. And let me even tell you, sisters, praise God. If you are in a relationship with someone and you want the person to marry you very quickly, don't let the person touch you. If the person doesn't touch you, he will hurry up. If he's already eating the honey before the moon, he will not look forward to the honeymoon. Come on. Wow. Where did that come from? Because once he can just get anything, he's already, nothing is, don't worry, he's not looking forward to anything. But he wants him to hurry up the thing. That's why you watch Nigerian movies. Once a lady has moved into a man's house, the conversation is always, when are you coming to see my parents? When are you proposing to me? Why are they proposing to you? You're already living in my house. Are you getting blessed? So, this is the house of God. Say it. Not for fornication. Are you following me? This is not for fornication. And then every other kind of sin. Adultery. Lesbianism. Homosexuality. If you are here and you still have homosexual tendencies, you still feel attracted to a man or to a woman, let me tell you, there's nothing strange happening to you. It's just the same way people feel like stealing. The same way you just feel like sinning. Conquer it. Refuse to do it. You know what I'm saying? Don't say, well, I just have this lesbian tendency. You just have a temptation to sin. Just like everybody has a temptation to lie. Some have a temptation to sleep with someone that is not their wife and all of that. What do? You conquer it. And so, don't give in. This body is God's temple. Amen. I said, amen. In the case of, that's GNT, in the case of an engaged couple who have decided not to marry, if the man feels that he's not acting properly toward the young woman, and if his passions are too strong, I insist that they ought to marry. One day I'm going to use this scripture to teach on bestie. One day. Both of you are close, but there's nothing going on between us. We are just friends, but we talk every day. We talk in the morning, we talk in the afternoon, we talk at night, but we are just friends. Bible says you should marry. That's what I'm saying. Marry. That's what I'm saying. Married, get married, get married. So besties should get married. That's what I'm trying to say. Oh God. Because all of these, we're just friends. And you know, forget that we play with bestie, whatever, in this church. Out there in the world, the real bestie thing, they sleep with each other. See that bestie thing? It's called friends with benefits. Foolishness. How come the bestie does not survive after one gets married? Huh? Because there was actually something between them. They were lying to themselves. You know what? I'm one of those pastors that when you come, I tell you the truth as it is. Some of you have come to me and I say, this thing both of you are doing, define it or stop talking to each other. Some of you have told you that. Define it or stop talking to each other. We are just cool. It's when you get her pregnant, you will know. Mind yourself. Flee sexual sin. Say amen.
It's the anointing, don't mind.
So number one, I say flee sexual sin. Number two instruction I'm going to give you. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. I've said that yesterday. 2 Corinthians 6 tells us that if you are the temple of God, second, not first now. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14, if you are the temple of God, you can't just allow anybody be your friend. It's very clear. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship had unrighteousness with righteousness with unrighteousness? What communication had light with darkness? Verse 15, what concord had Christ with Belial? And what part had he that believed with an infidel? What agreement had the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them. So I'm trying to show you, everybody cannot be your friend now. And I feel the Holy Ghost saying I should emphasize that a little more today. Everybody cannot be your friend, because tomorrow we're going to get into other issues around this oikos thing. But today I want to round up this purity of God's house thing. Everybody cannot be your friend. This is God's temple. What agreement has this temple? If you understand this, imagine God's temple with temple of idols and they are friends. And let me say this to you. Can you genuinely like someone, even of the same sex, who is not born again? Yes. Because some people are not born again, but they are really good people. Is that not true? They are really good people. They are really, really okay. Like, you look at their lives, man. If not that they hate church, it's just this church that they are not. Apart from this church, they are okay. That it is not just is a big thing. Because how the Bible describes him, the Bible describes them as a temple of idols. What that simply means is that the same way there is a union between you and God, there is a union between them and Satan. The same way there is an influence of the Spirit of God in your heart that controls to tell you what to do. There is an influence of demons in their heart that tells them what to do. I've shown you this many times. Every unbeliever, listen, you know, every child of God, for instance, has the Holy Ghost inside of him. Are you aware? Even people that don't speak in tongues, but are born again, have the Holy Ghost in them. Do you follow to this point? Even people that cannot prophesy have the Holy Ghost in them. Even people that cannot heal the sick yet have the Holy Ghost once they are born again. That's how it is with unbelievers. Even the one that is not killing someone now has Satan in him. The ones that are not doing whatever has Satan in him. They don't need to do it before you know. Once that status is there, as this one is not saved, the Bible calls them the temple of idols. Now, that's not to insult any unbeliever. That's actually to challenge you to get born again. And that's to tell you, sister or brother, you don't play sympathy card. You don't do that. When we got born again, you know, what they told us was, go and meet your unbeliever friends and tell them we cannot be friends again. I have someone who is a mentee of mine today. How she actually got born again is what I'm telling you. One of our friends got born again under me. And I told that girl, who is your best friend? She told me, I said, go tell her you cannot be her friend again. They are now born again. Real life story. And she went and told the person, you know, she was young. It's just 3 years. You know, children, they don't send you. It's just like trying to use that. She went, the way I said it came, we cannot be friends again. No. Why? I'm not a believer. I'm not a born again Christian. And the other girl now said, but I like you. I want us to be friends. Say, but we can't be friends again. And that one said, then let me become born again to so that I can keep being friends. Real life story. And she led her to Christ. She told me, I said, lead her to Christ. Now that is, that was child. She didn't like a child, but that is firmness. Now some of us are even keeping relationships, planning marriage. Keeping, now, an unbeliever can be your business partner, it's okay. But partner to the point where both of you are sharing life experiences together. To start with, your perspectives will be different. How both of you see life will be different. How both of you interpret things will be different. I get to the point. Go tell an unbeliever now that you have been coming to church for the past 30 days. Whether he says something or not, you must say nawow. I get what I'm saying. Say nawow. Like 30 days. Yeah. People don't have another thing you're doing. What are they doing there? Are they sharing food there? Are they giving you guys anything? The perspective will be different. And no matter how you want to claim that it will not affect me, it will. Nobody is stronger than an influence you've exposed yourself to. You are not stronger than an influence you've exposed yourself to. Nobody is. Nobody is. So once you allow any influence into your life, that influence is stronger than you at that point. Are you getting blessed? So you can't keep. So that's why you must begin to reevaluate your friendships. Why do you think in the Old Testament they were told that Gentiles shouldn't enter the temple? Reevaluate these things. Are you following what I'm saying? He said, come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. And he's praying to unbelievers. So what do I have to do with unbelievers? You can be friends, you can talk, you can roll. It's okay. I get the point. But you must be preaching the gospel to them. That's what you owe them. Do you even know that even in this same Bible, the Bible even warns against being friends with unserious Christians? Are you aware? Like in this Bible, Paul warned against being friends with. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 5 now. So if anyone says he's a believer but he's a fornicator, is. Do you remember that? He says he's a believer, but he's living perpetually in sin. He said, don't flow with them. Don't eat with them. So if we have to even be careful among even saved men, in quotes, how come people that are not even saved at all? I get what I'm saying? And it's good I'm saying this now, because people say, do you want to marry that guy? He say, yes. Is he born again? Well, yes, he's born again, just that he's not going to church. He's not growing. He's not whatever. Let me even say this to you. A believer that is not growing is not different from an unbeliever in their thoughts, in their words, and in their actions. They're only different in their nature. Do you understand what I said now? A believer who is not growing is not different from an unbeliever in their thoughts, in their words, and in their actions. If you just meet somebody and say, say after me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And first he says that and actually believes. And goes on, but doesn't grow. He will still steal like he used to steal. He will still think like he used to think. Are you what I'm talking about here? That's what I said for growth. So you be careful with friendships. Many of you, your spiritual life is suffering. Not because you are not passionate, but because you have the wrong kind of people around you. The temple of God cannot be flowing with the temple of idols. And in this closeness, what are they doing? What are they discussing? Amen. And this is why, let me say this to you. I can very blunt as a pastor, as I am being blunt now. Because this is the kind of message and word of you that this generation will not preach again, because pastors are trying to be politically correct. Not to sound like that discriminating. See, the Bible says we should love everybody. The Bible said we should love the brotherhood. There is a way to show love to the world. It's not by bringing them into our circle. That's not what the Bible said we should do. And I'm not trying to be politically correct. I don't care whether you think I'm right or wrong. Because that's the point. Pastors are trying not to go too far. That does not look like you are pushing. I don't want to be politically correct. I don't want you to like me. God's word will not be broken. Everybody cannot be your friend. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can be your friend. Now, should you be mean to unbelievers? No. Should you be kind to them? 1,000 times, yes. That's even a way you can preach the gospel to them. You know what I'm saying? Should you accept them? Yes. Should you love them? Yes. If they spread clothes on the line, should you pack it for them? Why won't you? Are you mad? If it's about to rain, be kind to them. But to now have one as your friend, you are discussing. And I used to tell you guys this story. And this brother I'm talking about now, we reconnected recently. He's now a pastor, not just a pastor. He's a lead pastor, actually, of a church. Glory to God. But then he gisted me, actually, about the very first day he ever got involved in fornication. You know, that's what I used to tell you guys. He was a young guy. They were having this training. And there was this girl that came in from outside Enugu. And he was assisting the girl, you know, in the training. The girl didn't know anywhere, just assisted her. After the whole thing, the girl was like, wow, you know, you've really been good to me.
in these 3 weeks of this training. How do I appreciate you? You get the point? And the guy was like, no, I'm really good. Say, no. He said, don't worry, come to my house. Come to my house, let me appreciate you. This was an innocent bro. He was not thinking about it at all. And again, the girl was living with her uncle or something, because she doesn't stay in the room. She just came in for that training. What this guy didn't know was that the uncle had traveled at that point. So he said, by the time he came in, the girl started manifesting. And then he got carried away.
That's a real life story.
So he got carried away. And in the course of the whole whatever, the girl was like, where now? Bring out the thing. And the boy said, which thing? He said, you didn't come here with a condom? He said, no. He said, I can't be visiting a girl. So I didn't go. So you didn't know? He said, no, I didn't know. And boy, the time had already gone. So the girl said, go home. We're coming tomorrow. Buy it. And the session for the day ended. That's part one of the message. So now he got home. You know, that was God delivering him, saying, go and sin no more. He said he was so troubled, he didn't know what to do. The only person he had to share it with was a cousin of his. Say, guys, see what happened. The boy was shouting, oh boy, see free food though. I'm telling you. I was like, well, if you should be doing that, he said, which one shouldn't be doing what? This cousin of his ironed his clothes. I'm not joking. This cousin of his used his money to go and buy. You know, there are some people that delight in spoiling you. They delight in seeing you spoil. Fathers in sin. They mentor you unto unrighteousness. So the guy was like, I want to say, I beg. Say, if you don't want to go, I'll go and represent you. Push things. Say, don't be a Jew, man. He went to. I said, the police, he said, when he was going, he told himself, well, I'll just go so the girl will not feel bad. You know, if I go there, I'll talk to her. I will not do it. He said, the point was, as he opened the door to get into the house, pornography was already playing on the TV screen. So he wasn't even given a chance to say, ah. He just came in and, so by the time I met him in our first year, this is how I'm actually connected. He was, you know, he saw me living as a Christian. He came out and said, do you know, I'm actually born again. Just that I don't understand. I'm a shadow of myself. I said, what happened? He told me this story. So I did what I could to restore him and all of that. Glory to God, he's a pastor now. That tells you again that anybody can be fixed. Are you what I'm talking about? God can fix anybody's life. But again, what drove that guy into that thing? He spoke to the wrong person. Who do you talk to about your issues? Where you are tempted. You know, there are people in your life that when there is temptation, you know that once you talk to them, it's over. You will never do it. Do you have such friends? Touch anybody. Do you have such friends? Find out. Do you have such friends? That once you talk to them, you will never do it. Do you have friends that when you talk to you, I'm sure you are going to sin? Don't be such a friend. Say amen. And the third thing I'm going to give as an instruction today, walk in love. We'll close with that. Walk in love. Walk in love. This is the temple of God. We must conduct it in love. Walking in love entails walking in forgiveness, being tolerant, being kind. All that love represents, you walk in love. Amen. Walking in love is actually to walk in the Spirit. It's actually to walk as we are. Remember, we are one with the Spirit. Remember that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. So again, when you hear walk in love, it doesn't mean have love in you. You already have love in you. Are you aware? Romans 5, verse 5. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. So love is already living in your heart. So when you hear walk in love, it doesn't mean have love. Every believer is full of love. When you hear walk in the Spirit, it doesn't mean be in the Spirit. Every believer is in the Spirit and has the Spirit. Romans 6 tells us in verse 4 how that we have been buried with Jesus in baptism, okay, and we are raised up from the dead. Just to portray everything I've been saying. You see, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Notice what he did. He showed us who we are. We are buried with Christ in baptism. What should we now do? We should walk in newness of life. That's something I'm trying to tell you. You have love inside of you. Therefore, walk in love. In Galatians 5 verse 25, he said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Do we live in the Spirit? So we can read this verse as, since we live in the Spirit. Is that okay? Since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So since we have the Holy Ghost, let's walk in Him. Since we are full of love, let's walk in love. Since God's love is in our hearts, let's walk in. That's why by the time you now read places like the fruit, you know the fruit of the Spirit? Remember the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Those things are not instructions, as it were, that we have to obey. Those things is the reality of the new creation man. Remember, this new creation man is in the Spirit. Remember, he is one with the Spirit. Remember, he is full of love. So when you are beginning to see, full of Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's not telling you, as it were, what you must do. It's showing you who you already are. In you is love. In you is joy. In you is peace. In you is long suffering. So you are now walking in them. So a believer should not pray and say, Father, give me love. No. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruit you should bear. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And you're already in the Spirit. So it's the fruit that your reborn spirit is bearing already. So we don't pray prayers like, Father, no, Jesus, I receive love in my life. No. You have love. You are full of love. I get what I'm saying. You don't say, Father, I receive gentleness. No. You have it. It's not the fruit. The Bible never said, but the fruit you must bear is, it says, the fruit of the Spirit. And since we are in the Spirit, and we are one with the Spirit, this is the fruit that our reborn spirit is bearing. So what do we now have to do? We must walk in them. So walk in love, walk in joy, walk in peace, walk in faith, walk in goodness, walk in patience. So when he says things like, love your neighbor, I'm not saying and in bottle from wherever. I'm saying there is a deposit of the love of God in your inside. From them, draw love and show your neighbor. When I'm saying forgive your neighbor, I'm saying there is a deposit of forgiveness inside of you. Draw from there and forgive your neighbor. You get the point? We are the house of God. He lives in us. When he came into us, he came in with love, with peace, with long suffering. So you see, everything I've been teaching about flee fornication, all of this. Sir, it's difficult for me to control myself. That is the fruit of the Spirit called self-control. So what should I do? Don't say, Father, I pray to receive self-control. It's the fruit your reborn spirit is bearing already. Draw from there. How do you do that? Begin to get that one. Begin to walk in it. So walk in love. Forgive your neighbor. Tolerate your neighbor. Be kind to people. Are you going to point? Kind to people. He said, after he listened to the Spirit, what did he say? There is no law against this. Against there's no law. Go to verse 24. After he listed all this fruit of the Spirit, he says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Stay here with the affection and lust. What are the affection and lust of the flesh? He showed us from verse 19. The works of the flesh are what? Remember works of the flesh? Read it to me. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Which I tell you, gave instructions. You now go to verse 22 and listed. So he listed two things: works of the flesh, and then fruit of the Spirit. Right? He now go to verse 2, you understand the flow. He now go to verse 23, after listening to 24, after listening to fruit of the Spirit. He now says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. So all those things listed in 19 to 21, you've crucified it. I get what I'm saying? So don't keep walking after what has been crucified. Walk after the reborn spirit. That reborn spirit is full of love. That's why after he now mentioned this verse 24, he now go to 25 and said, if we live in the Spirit,
So we can say, since we live in the spirit, since we are in the spirit, Yes, pray and pray and pray across all the centers. Online, on ground, just pray. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. So as we live today, let us bear these things in mind, that what we call the fruit of the Spirit are not just to us as instructions. They are the reality of the life of God in us. So today I ask you to walk in love, because the love of God is already inside of you. Today I ask you to flee fornication, because God has already empowered you with self-control. Are you following everybody? Today I ask you to forgive, because it's in you. Today I ask you to be patient with people, because God, the fruit of the Spirit, is patience. God has filled you with patience. Today I ask you to accommodate people and to tolerate people, because you've been filled with the ability to do that. Are you following me? So this is the house of God, and we must conduct ourselves as the house of God. Finally, let me say to you, this kind of meeting should produce decisions. Decisions. What are you going to do after this meeting? Who will you cut off from your life after this meeting? What boundaries will you set in your life after this meeting? What choices, what decisions are you going to make after this meeting? Are you know what I'm saying? What will you do differently after this meeting? What structure will you put into your life to see that you are walking as God has made you? It calls for decision. Because how to break out from sinful habits, it starts with knowledge. But the knowledge must also produce action. Are you know what I'm saying? It must produce action. So what are you going to do after this meeting? What are you going to do? Do you want Satan to keep invading this house of God? Do you want just anything to go on around this house of God? This is God's house. So what are you going to do? Because let me close by saying to you, God has an agenda for your life. I don't know why God said I should say this now. That same way, Satan has an agenda for your life. Whichever of them you yield to, the agenda will come to pass. I've said that again. God has an agenda for your life. Satan has an agenda for your life. Whichever of them you yield to. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 13 tells us about yielding ourselves and our members as instruments unto God. I give you an example as we begin to close. As we close finally, actually. God wants you to serve Him. He wants you to be a minister that would change your world. He wants you to impact your generation. He wants you to change your generation. He wants you to be on fire for Him. If you begin to yield to Him, how do you do that? You begin to pray. You begin to come to church. You begin to study your Bible. What are you doing? You are yielding to God. Eventually, what God wants for you will happen. Satan also has an agenda for your life. 1 Corinthians 6:13. If you begin to yield to Him, if you begin to yield to the devil, you begin to do everything He said you should do. He says, oh, go touch that sister. You go. He says, today, just hate on everybody. You do. his agenda over your life will be fulfilled. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. You notice he already said you are alive unto dead. Alive from the dead, rather. You are alive unto God. So what do you now do? Begin to yield your members. Don't let this oikos of God just become a playground for anything. Don't let it become a playground for anything. So this meeting calls for decisions. It calls for decisions. It calls for decisions. Amen. I wish I had time. I would have said more things in the area of personal consecration. What is the house of God? There are some of you with all the knowledge they can share with you about drinking. Alcohol is not really... Don't ever test alcohol in your life. There are some of you that will be what, no matter how they try to quote it and say, you know, New Testament, drink alcohol. Don't ever. Because, again, not anything can just go on around. There are things I don't wear. Some of you have not observed. Except I get a release from God, maybe in the future. I'm not someone you can see with... I don't even like it to start with. Plenty jewelries. We are chain. We are this. We are that. We are look like bingo. No. You're not going to see that. Now, I'm not saying you are saying if you do that, it's you. Some pastors do it. I don't think I just have the liberty to do anything I just want to do. That's what I'm trying to make. I don't think I have the liberty to do anything I want to. I don't have that liberty to just do what I feel like doing. This is how I want to act. It's just my business. It's not your business. Mm-mm. Everything is not about how you want to act or what you want to do. Are you getting points? Yield your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Why? These members are not going to yield that to God. It's the temple of God. It belongs to Him. So, let me tell you, the instruction in this verse is simply, use the house of God for His purpose. Simple. Are you what I'm saying? Use it for His purpose. If you buy phone, use your phone to make call. Don't use it for wage motor. That's not actually what he thought. If you buy a car, let your car carry you around. It is not for spreading clothes. Use it for His purpose. Do you understand what I'm saying? Use it for His purpose. Then I'm going to say this finally. Every time you use an object, a machine or whatever for His purpose, it functions to its best capacity. Have you observed that? Remember I told you yesterday that God is man's habitat. Whenever you yield yourself to God, you function in your best and to your best. That's what I actually believe, that if you begin to yield yourself to God, it will affect even your marriage, your finance, everything, because you are at your best when you yield yourself to God. Once you are yielding, you're using an object for His purpose, it functions to His best. You know, there are objects that you can misuse and use for multiple whatever, but you see, they are always at their best when you're using them for the purpose they were created. Amen.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.